This is Bill McMinn from Inkable Bible Church, and this is the Way to Go podcast, where we talk about faith, family, and daily life, putting the Bible into practical, everyday terms.
Welcome to the Way to Go podcast. I'm Bill McMinn, along with me, Eric Barfell, talking about your thoughts today. And one song written by The National, the title of the song cracks me up alone, let alone some of the lyrics.
What is it?
Your Mind Is Not Your Friend is the name of the song. So your imagination is in an awful place. Don't believe in manifestation. Your heart will break. Don't you understand? Your mind is not your friend again. It takes you by the hand. It leaves you nowhere. Your imagination is in an awful place. I think about that for some people. It's probably very true. Like, your mind goes to some pretty dark places where there's nobody cares about me. I'll never get ahead or whatever negative. They hate me. Whatever negative things we tend to tell ourselves.
Right.
It can
get
dark.
No, it sounds like Jeremiah, 17 verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all else. Right. Who can trust it? And, you know, the National is saying it's your own imagination. It's your own mind.
Right.
It takes you to the worst of places. And
well, there's to be a kid's. Did you ever hear that song? And maybe it's in my generation. You didn't hear it, but nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go out and eat worms.
Yeah, I know that phrase, and that's about it.
But yeah, it's probably about as far as I would get singing the song as well. But I remember it was almost like the ultimate self-pity anthem.
Yeah, exactly.
Anytime you started complaining about something, somebody's just singing the song to you to remind you how dumb it is. Is this what you're saying right now? Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going out to eat worms. Uh-huh. Oh, the big fat ones and little skinny ones and a whole nother thing. Yeah. We'll learn it. We'll learn it together. We'll do a duet later on it. But I do think that it, obviously, when we were singing the song as kids, it's not a new problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, humanity. It's not like all of a sudden, you know, we got into our day and everyone's thought, I do think it's a little, somewhat darker, but obviously we've struggled for a while before. So some of the thoughts that we could talk about, I would like to start off with prideful thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there is a dark thought or a thought that I really want to resist in the reality of living, it's not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. It's having that humble estimation of ourselves. And I believe that pride can be so tricky. It's so insidious because it's subtle and it kind of sneaks up on you. And the next thing you know, you're telling yourself, well, I'm better than that or whatever it is. So caution.
Right. No, and that's probably a pretty common struggle with people. Honestly, truthfully, like that was one of mine for quite some time. And even recognizing that can be a struggle too.
Right.
You know,
for sure.
That's a tough one to wrestle through. I don't know. I have no idea how many people would say they wrestle with pride and arrogance, but I think it's pretty common personally.
I would think a lot of people would, to be honest with you. If you're being honest with yourself and not, there's not a lot of people that I would classify as prideful. I mean, I come across some, especially at that worst end of pride. Sure. In a whole career, I have seen pride.
Right.
I would say that I see a lot more humble servants than I see prideful people at church.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't know how you sense it or how your workers go, but I don't honestly, I think most people, they probably do struggle with pride, but they're not to that point of sheer arrogance.
Right.
And
right.
I think we need to make sure we don't get ourselves there. There could be some pride in that there's a lot of, how do you put it? Self-advertising in social media. That's probably not the exactly perfect
phrase.
Have you
ever gone to literally any sporting event? Because seemingly, I don't want to say all, many of those athletes only ever point back to themselves.
Right.
They're on it. They're literally on a team of people.
Right.
And all they care about is themselves.
Really?
All they do is show off.
Okay.
And showboat and gloat and say they're the best. And it's overwhelming.
Right.
In seemingly any sport, any athlete. I was actually talking to Keith Albee a long time ago. He's talking about the Cavs. I can't say I follow the Cavs or basketball whatsoever. But he's like, we got a team of nobodies. There's no big name guys, but they're all about the team and they're all doing so well.
Right.
Not one is pointing to themselves as the individual. And that's huge because, again, you look at the NBA as a whole and all these seemingly all, so many of these athletes only care about themselves and boasting about themselves, talking about how good they are. Where's the team at? They're literally on a team.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And so are we at church. I mean, so are Christians. And as we work together, and that's one thing I've always tried to realize is, yes, God gifted me to be a speaker. That's one part. I'm only part of the body of Christ. I'm a piece. My job is just to do my job that God's called me to.
Right.
But you realize all, like Paul says, all the parts are important. All the parts are necessary. There's not anyone who should be thinking, I don't have a place here. There's also no one should be thinking I'm more important than anyone else here.
Exactly.
Because that's not how God would view it. So I believe, though, for this, in social media, I think one of my fears is there's this constant need for attention. And that's one of the aspects of society that I've noticed where, and it, these could be people that we've never met. I mean, it could be a photographer or an influencer out in California or any state. And it's just, you wonder sometimes, can they get enough attention? Is there ever enough attention for these people? Because they're constantly, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. And you almost feel sorry for them because you realize there'll never be enough. If you get into that mindset of I just need attention, crave attention, I have to have people applauding me or commenting, or you're comparing yourself with other people, that can be a bad place to be. And pride will take you right there.
Right. You know, I wonder some of that stems from like childhood issues kind of thing.
Could be.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, when your child's told, some children are told they're worthless, but some children are you spent their life telling them how special they were too.
Sure, sure. Or or on the flip side, like they just never got attention at home kind of thing. And they're, I don't know, they grow up and are attention seeking.
They say that, I mean, in some ways in our world, and very much steeped in a self-esteem movement, I think there's a tendency to praise, no matter what. Mm-hmm. And you kind of get used to being praised for minimal effort. Because that's what we should do as parents. And then you get out in the real world and realize, oh, I'm not getting praise for minimal effort. I'm not getting praise when I treat other people like dirt.
Right.
And pride, again, can give you that self-inflated thinking of, I'm so dang important here. Everyone needs to come to me. Everyone needs to listen to me. Because you've just, I don't know, been overheard maybe in your life. I don't think that's a term either, but I'm throwing it out there today. So here's some biblical examples of pride. All right. I deserve a better spot. You deserve a better spot. In Isaiah 14, 12 through 14, we believe this is talking about Satan, how you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You've been cast down and once laid low. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of the Assembly, on the utmost heights of Zaphon. I will ascend above the top of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Look for this in yourself, in others, when you're identifying pride. If you see a lot of I, me, 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 that's an indicator that we should be able to easily step back, even in evaluating ourselves, and say, okay, well, how much of this have I made about me?
Right.
How many of the stories have I made about me? And if I hear you talk about, hey, you know, I was hiking up somewhere and I've got you think that's good. You know, I went and hiked even higher spot. Well, why do I have to hike or higher? You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Like, why can't I just say, hey, that's great, man. I'm glad you did that.
The one upper, they call it.
Right.
Everything you do, they got a story that's, they did it better. They did it bigger. They did it fast, whatever. They got something that's going to one up whatever you've done. They're not happy for you at all. Because their comeback is something that they've done that's better than,
And it's two, if you're not listening to people, would be a sign of pride because you got to turn every story to me, every story to what I did, every story to look
about
at
themselves,
me.
Right, and their own accomplishments and how good they are. And
I. It's scary. I see this from time to time in people, and it's not that they're not likable. It's not that. It's just you notice it. And you wonder about it. And what I've seen is typically that's headed for a problem in a group setting. If you put the I-ville person who wants to be the center of attention and everything's about them in the middle of a group of people, they can go along for a while, but eventually something breaks, something happens.
Why? Because I personally try to avoid those kind of people. I think in time, other people catch on. They're like, wow, you only ever talk about, you don't even ask me how I'm doing. Right. Like, you don't even reciprocate in the conversation.
Right.
Like, there is no conversation. You're talking the whole time about yourself. Like, it just, I don't know. You end up, you walk away feeling this big. You're right. Like, all right, I'll go find somebody else.
Yeah, right. Just, no, I definitely hear you on that one. And I think it's a good challenge. I think that's a good challenge. Do you let people talk? Do you let people finish their statement? For mm-hmm. me, for any of us, you know, I think that's a good, that's right, a good challenge right. for us. But I did it for my own glory is another sign of pride. So Daniel 4:30, he said, is it not the great Babylon I have built as a royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? Now, this guy had already been warned about his pride. God had already come to him and said, you keep it up, you're going to be out there wandering in the meadows like a wild animal until I say so. So he says, I built it by my mighty power for my glory. And anytime that we think that we're the main person, the main cog in the machine, the most important person, well, I did this. Instead of we, mm-hmm. including God,
mm-hmm. right.
did this, right. right? Where God's getting the most credit, right? And then we are doing it, not mm-hmm. me is doing it.
Yeah.
So to me, that would be a sign of pride. I did it by my power.
Exactly.
And then when you did it for your glory. So the only reason you did it was the motivation so you would get applause or someone think you were great. That's dangerous too. And again,
because I can.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of subtle in yeah. some ways because, yeah, you just got to ask yourself all the time, you know, what's my motivation for what I do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and oftentimes they can't even like acknowledge it's like a blessing from God or like right. it's God has given me this or, you know, something like that. It's like, no, I think you're absolutely right. It's what I have done for myself because I can.
Right.
Because I want to.
Right.
Whatever, whatever, you know.
But remember that Daniel 4:30. I often come back to this as a great reference point for what pride is because sometimes in defining it, it's good to have a clear verse. And so I've always liked that one because it's the person saying, I did it by my power. So you're giving credit to no one else. And I did it for my glory. Mm. This is textbook in the Bible, what pride is.
Yeah.
I'm glorifying myself.
Yep.
The same thing Satan wanted to do. He wanted God's spot. He wasn't satisfied right. with being in his own spot. He deserved a better spot. So he couldn't really fit into God's kingdom the way he should have because he goes, no, I need to be up there where the mm-hmm. Most High is instead of being content where God had him. Yeah. So that pride can do that to you. And really pride then works into narcissism. And there's, it's interesting because I looked this up the other day in preparation for this podcast. And I was telling you earlier, 30 signs you might be a narcissist, 20 signs you might be a narcissist. Like, I honestly wouldn't do that to you. Like, I would not try to tell you this on a podcast.
Yeah, right.
What all
right.
20 of them were. So I found one that was 6, and then I even pared that down. I didn't even share all 6, just a few that I thought were interesting. One is the thinking it's all about me. And as they were writing there, I know more, I know better, I'm more interesting. When we talk, it's mostly about me. In conversations, I take up most of the airtime. It's almost all of my chatter. It's about what I've done or about what I'm thinking about.
Brings up the wise man versus the foolish man. The wise man listened. They both listened. The wise man did what he was told.
Right.
He didn't just listen. He applied the teaching to his life.
Right.
And he is the wise man as a result. Foolish man listened, heard, had the mentality that I know better. Okay, you've told me this, but I'm still going to do it my way,
right?
Kind of thing. And, well, he's labeled as the foolish man.
Right. I've seen people where I'm like, well, this is what the Bible says. Yeah, I know that, but I'm going to do this. Okay.
Right.
And this was after you're trying to share your own, hey, listen, this is what I foresee is going to happen. And the thing is, you know what's going to happen if they continue
to serve back. You're going the wrong way.
Exactly. You know exactly what's going to happen to them and why. Well, for me, in years of doing, decades of doing this, certain patterns work out certain ways, and you just kind of know the gist of it, mm-hmm. you know, kind of how the story ends when you take certain paths. So you try to tell them that and then they don't listen. Okay. Well, hey, you know, forget about me. Let me not, I won't even talk about that. Let's just go to the Bible. Right. No, I'm not listening right. to that either. Well, that's a problem. So they're all about them. Another thing about them is rules don't apply to them, which just really made me laugh because I'm like, oh wow, maybe I'm a narcissist. Cause sometimes I do think the rules don't apply to me, but and I'm just kidding. Okay. I'm just kidding. I actually not, I mean, obviously if I set a time that we all need to be at a certain time, right. I'm going to be there right. at that time or early. And I'm going to go with the flow, and I'm a firm believer of I'm not asking you to do anything I won't do. So if I'm asking you to dress a certain way, to go to a certain event, I'm also going to do it.
Right.
You know, absolutely. I'm not. So, but when it came to the trespassing, that's what made me laugh about it. Cause or, but I remember when I was younger too, when it said, don't walk on the grass, I'd always be like, that applies to somebody else. That's not, it wouldn't matter if I was at the zoo, if I was at college or where I was, it just never seemed to like really stick with me. But I thought that's interesting. Okay. So they're not going to, they're going to think you should be doing stuff that they don't have to do, where I've always felt like, well, I'm not going to think that way. I'm not going to say you guys all need to be faithful and moral and honest, but I don't have to be somehow because I'm so important. I don't think anyone's above the law, not in society, not in church, not anywhere. There's no one above the law. Mm-hmm. These people think they're above the law. Mm-hmm. I think we might have some politicians that are a bit narcissistic because I think some of those people don't think that they need to follow the laws. But anyway, your concerns are really criticisms of me, and I hate being criticized. So I can criticize others and often do, but if you criticize me, you're hurting my feelings. So I'll hurt you back as kind of their thinking. So if you come to them and say, hey, you know, this kind of concerns me, or I don't think you should go, then they take that, oh, you're just criticizing me. No, I'm just having a concern.
My mom always said, she's like, you can dish it out, but you can't take it. And that's exactly it. It's like, as soon as it comes back to you in like the slightest way.
Right.
Right.
I see it too. And again, it's interesting listening to some speakers in the nation, Christian speakers, and they're like, I've run into thousands of people like this. I have not. I mean, I've run into a very select few people who I would think actually qualifying to hardcore this type of thinking. And I count myself fortunate. I just don't run into it a ton. I've seen pride, and when I do see it, I know they're going to fall. Whether that's in another ministry, whether it's here in this ministry, if somebody's super prideful, don't want to listen, it's all about them.
Yeah, I think pride and arrogance is more common. This is pretty extreme.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, we're all susceptible to it, you know, if we don't remain in check kind of thing. I think that's why accountability is so important.
Right. Well, what do you think about victimhood? I think there's a lot of that. Like, I'm a victim. It's like, you're not a victim. I mean, if somebody says something to you, it's your benefit. Like you were saying, the wise person listens to counsel. The wise person realizes if somebody comes to them with, let's say, constructive criticism, it's only going to make them better. And because they're willing to listen to it, they got, as the Bible says, wiser still. Yeah, they're already wise.
Right.
But even the wise person needs counsel from time to time. Mm-hmm. And they got smarter because they're willing to realize, hey, I don't know everything. So I've got to be willing to listen to what other people tell me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'm too.
So one of the reasons I'm putting a roof over my deck is because it was suggested by the guy who was helping me rebuild my deck. He goes, you need a roof over here. And I always resisted it. You know, but then when he was there kind of explaining why it would be important to do it, I'm like, okay, I hear you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll figure that out. Some other things, I'm right, you're wrong. So when things go wrong between us, it's your fault. I'm right, you're wrong.
Is this marriage or what? What is this?
Oh, boy, he's in trouble now. They have so many funny memes about that. Now that you mentioned marriage, I mean, I have seen quite a bit, you know, where you really do apologize when you know you're right. That's how you know when you're married. But we're kidding. Okay. We're just, it's funny. Right. So, but no, I would say that when you have this mentality that it's always somebody else's fault, that's a sign of narcissism because you can't take responsibility for your own actions.
Absolutely.
And I believe, listen, when I do something to tick my wife off, I've got to acknowledge what I did, because if I don't, I'm going to keep ticking her off. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't actually like it when my wife is ticked off at me, because then it's quiet. I don't want it to be totally quiet. You know, I kind of like her sitting by the couch by me.
Because then you'll be alone with your thoughts, you know?
Exactly. It all comes back. Right. So anyway, answers to this type of thing, you know, I would say Philippians 2:3-4, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves. I like that. Just value others above yourselves. Then Romans 12:3, for by the grace of God, I say to every one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Rather, think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has given to you. So I look at that. I like that verse, Romans 12:3. Don't think of your... Yeah, you can understand, like, if you're good at something, like, you're a good cyclist, okay? So mm-hmm. you can look at yourself, you kind of know how you would rate to the average and then how you would rate to the better. So you probably have a very accurate assessment of what your skill set is, mm-hmm. correct? Because, I mean, you've mm-hmm. gone with enough other people. Yeah. You're not inflated, but you could safely say, not that you would tell me that, but you can safely think, yeah, you know, I'm pretty decent at this. I can average 22 miles an hour mm-hmm. on my bike, which I couldn't even dream of doing. You know what I'm saying? I don't care what kind of bike you put me on. I'm not gonna be able to do what you can do. So I think it's all right to assess that ability and know, you know, I can ride my bike. I can ride this mm-hmm. fast. I know I'm gonna be able to cover this much ground in this much time. That's accurate. To overinflate, I should be, you know, in the Tour de France and I'm better than Lance Armstrong. Right. Oh, maybe that'd be different, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, actually.
So, yeah, exactly. I don't have a problem with somebody understanding they have talent. I don't want a talented person self-deprecating themselves and saying, oh, I'm terrible. Because then that can be a false humility.
Yes, and yeah, I was actually I just had this thought. Like, you can be confident without being arrogant and prideful.
Right.
You can, like, praise other people and compliment their ability and skills without being like, oh, you're so much better than me. And, like, no, actually, you are better than her. On the test, you got a better score right. than this person.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You don't have to, like, it's kind of a spectrum in a sense. Yeah, you don't be all the way over here where you're arrogant and gloating, but don't be over here where you're just, oh, poor me. Right. I stink at this. Because then you're just, like, pointing to yourself still, but, right. like,
it's like a reverse kind of pride.
Yeah, exactly.
You're still getting people to praise you because you're putting yourself low, so they'll build you up.
You bring this attention to you in a pity kind of way. Right. Yeah.
No, I think you should accurately know what your skill level is. So when you get asked to do something, like, we had a kid one time, and I guess I'll conclude with this, but we went on a missions trip, and he was extremely difficult to deal with, and he wasn't a very good athlete. And this was,
I know the type.
We were playing some of the best athletes in Portugal, like at the high school level or college level. Then we were bringing in our own college players and our own high school players, and they were very good. And he kept saying, I want to be out there. I should be out there. And I'm kind of coaching this team because I'm one of the only adults there. Not that I have skill in that, but I am an adult. So that was a warm, Bill's an adult. He's going to say who gets to play. So I pulled the one guy, I put him in. He went in there, first shot goes over the entire backboard. I mean, it wasn't even close. It fell off the court by like 10 yards. And I'm looking at it, and he was totally humiliated. And I tried to tell him, like, I tried to tell you don't belong out there. It's nothing bad about that. You got your own God-given set of skills.
Right.
It's just not, but he couldn't see and understand how his ability connected to the other people's ability. I would look at guys like that and say, I don't belong on that court. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I wouldn't be on that court. You know what I'm saying? I like how it says here that you should have, don't think of yourself more highly, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. In other words, have an accurate assessment of who you are, have an accurate assessment of your talents, because if you overinflate, you're probably going to blow other opportunities and kind of not get the opportunities you thought that you would get. So that's not wise too. So overall, our recommendation for myself and Eric today is, in your thinking, don't allow prideful thoughts to be part of your negative thinking. And if you sense that coming in, that's more Satan stuff. Just don't allow that to be part of your thinking. You guys all have an awesome week.